couple of weeks ago, I was up at the Sanctuario in Chimayo, New Mexico. The Sanctuario is a place where people come to find prayers for healing. It's a place where they make pilgrimages. In fact, I've done my own pilgrimage to Chimayo on a couple of occasions. But one of the things that I noticed when I was there this time was there's a statue in the middle of the courtyard of a man with a pole and a hat and a stick and on his shoulder a shell. And I thought to myself, that person's a pilgrim. Because last year, about this time, I was doing the pilgrimage in Spain, going to Santiago. And all of the pilgrims there for hundreds, almost thousands of years, have carried a shell to indicate that they are indeed pilgrims. It marks their path as holy. It encourages people to give them hospitality. But it's a reminder. It's a reminder that we are on a journey. About 6 years ago, I did the Coast to Coast trail in England. It's not a pilgrimage per se. But when I got back, when I finished that 180 miles, when I got back, several people at the church I was at said to me, "Would you go again?" And I said, "Yes." Indeed, just seeing the shell on the pilgrim at Chimayo made me want to go again. Even though when I think about the long hikes and the backpacking trips that I've taken, I know that there are moments when I don't want to get up and I don't want to go again. And there are moments when I can't wait for the day to end, when all you can think about is simply being off the trail and a hot bath in a warm bed. We are a pilgrim people. I don't know if you noticed that in the creed that we said a couple of weeks ago. We are a pilgrim people. As Christians, when we think about the nature of pilgrimage, it reminds us of the very nature of our faith, that we are called to follow. That's what Jesus says to us, "Follow me." Remember when James and John, Peter and Andrew are up on the mountaintop with Jesus at the moment of transfiguration, when they really glimpse who Jesus is? Peter immediately says, "Let's build a place and just stay here. Celebrate this day." And Jesus says, "We can't stay on the mountain. We have to continue on the journey until we are getting where we go." So if you read sort of the preface to Psalm 121, indeed to this whole section in the Psalms, you will see that they are labeled the Psalms of Ascent. They are a set of psalms that probably pilgrims sung on their way to Jerusalem for various feasts and festivals. They were songs for the journey to help them take that next step forward. This particular psalm celebrates the mountains. And I have to say that from the first time I visited Western Hills, it is sort of the scripture that continues to reverberate inside of me. I lift up my eyes to the hills. You step outside the doors here, and there are the Franklin Mountains and all of their beauty and all of their glory. You come to this church, and it's called Western Hills. Lift up our eyes to the hills. Where does our help come from? In his commentary on Exodus, Walter Brueggemann makes this assertion, which I think all churches need to remember. He says, churches, any building of worship, exist in a community to remind that community that God is present, that God is alive, that God is working. So as we hear this affirmation in the Psalms that the Creator of the heaven and earth is with us, that the Creator does not slumber and does not sleep, our church becomes that. For those of us who worship on this day, for those of us who are connected to this congregation, And for every person in this community, whether they notice us or not, we say, God is here. God is at work. God will keep us. If you're a pilgrim, you prepare for the journey. I know that we spent almost 2 years preparing for the trip to England. We read books and we went online and we talked about all the supplies we would need and who we would need to hire, how we would find room and board. It was a long and involved process. Because let's face it, pilgrimages aren't easy. They can be really hard on you. Taking the journey can be a struggle. And sometimes we miss that in this Psalm of Ascent. It says, I look to the hills, from where does my help come? A pilgrim wouldn't necessarily just have seen the hills as a sign of God's presence. They would have been aware of all of the dangers that are present in a pilgrimage, in a journey. I love what Cotter says about sometimes the ground isn't as solid as you think it is. You realize that when you start hiking in the mountains, that you have to watch where you put your feet and that things can change. Even the markings of trails can go away. The pilgrims who would take the journey to Jerusalem, indeed pilgrims of all time and all places, realized that out on the road, you were susceptible to bandits, to being robbed. It wasn't a journey of safety. And yet, even in the midst of that fear, the journey was present. For the pilgrims who came to Jerusalem, especially in the time of Jesus, they would pass temples and shrines to other gods, things to distract them, promises that weren't true. So they would remind themselves that God was their hope and their help. So we are pilgrims on a journey. We hear Jesus' call to follow. Our lives are constantly changing, and sometimes with that change comes fear. Fear at the uncertainties that are before us. Fear of the things which threaten our lives. Some of those may be storms, like the people in the Bahamas. Sometimes things in our lives change. We find out we're ill or we have cancer. We lose someone important in our lives. Our relationship ends. Our job shifts or changes or ends. There are so many things in this world which seem to cause chaos and uncertainty. And maybe we come on this day with those fears, those places where we don't know what is going to happen. Call to lift up our eyes. And I invite you to just take a moment to yourself and say that fear to yourself. Acknowledge it. That place where life is uncertain. Acknowledge it. And hear the promise that comes from this psalm and comes from the presence of Jesus Christ, that he is with us always, that he doesn't slumber and he doesn't sleep. Indeed, as the first part of the psalm begins with a person questioning where God is present, the second part becomes a psalm of blessing. And reminds us that always, always God is with us on the journey. Even when there are dangers, even when there are uncertainties and chaos, God is there. So years ago, I was in a car accident, and it was a stupid accident, and it was my fault, but it was a really bad one. And I remember that as I got out of the car, sort of person after person said to me, "You're so lucky to be alive." And I was blessed, and I know that God was with me, but I kept thinking back to the son of two of my mentors. He'd also been killed in a car accident. And I kept wanting to say to them that God was with Boyd when he died too, not just with me when I survived the accident. God is with us in everything that we face, and will hold us and will keep us. You'll notice that that is the word that is most often repeated in this psalm, the word keep in the Hebrew, shamar. One theory of the Psalms of Ascent is that they're based on the blessing that comes out of Leviticus, the priestly blessing that says, "May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And that as the pilgrims took their journey, they meditated on the different words of that blessing. And that this particular meditation is about how God keeps us and God holds us. So we are pilgrim people. What do we learn on this journey? One of the things that I've been aware of for a couple of decades now is how frequently people use the Psalms in their faith life. That many people in monasteries pray through the Psalms every single day. They use them as part of their guidance. And even Billy Graham had a system where he read 5 Psalms a day so that every single month he read every single Psalm. So I try to, in my own way, encounter a psalm every day. It's part of what guides me. But I also know that that's part of the journey, is seeking guidance, seeking knowledge. That's what helps you through the journey. So that just as I've prepared for any hike or long walk, I've read books and I've asked lots of questions. So that's also part of the Christian life. How we study Scripture, how we are involved in classes with each other, how we come together in worship. I don't know if you noticed in Jim Cotter's psalm, but he uses the word cairn. Cairns are these rock formations that hikers create so that as other people pass by, they will know the direction. We practice our faith. God leaves us signs. God leaves us direction. We just need to know to look for them and to be able to recognize them so that we know the direction to go. When I walked across England, we discovered pretty early on that we needed to pay a lot more attention to navigation than I thought we did. And the book did say, add 20 to 30% to your time for navigation. But I thought, well, if 10,000 people walk this trail every year, it can't be that hard. It was that hard. So, we learned after the first day to really pay attention to where we were going and to read the guidebook. And there was one particular day as we came up Dent Hill, the friend I was walking with, and we had a couple other people walking with us, two of them were way ahead of us because they were in better shape than I was. And one person was behind me sort of at his own pace and his own time. And I finally got to the top of the hill, and I remembered what the book had said. It said, at the top of this hill there are cairns. Don't go forward until you see them. So I got to the top of the hill, and I looked, and at least in that first look, there were no cairns. There were no markers. But I remembered what the book said. I remembered to look for those markers. And so I did a couple of full 360s really seeking, really searching, and then suddenly there they were. And I'll just tell you, they were large cairns. They were about this tall. They weren't small, but I didn't see them right away. But really, the only way to get down off the mountain was to see those cairns and find those paths. So it is for us as Christians. We don't always know what's ahead of us. And even when we think the way should be obvious, it may not be. But through Scripture, through prayer, we see those signs. We see that sense of direction that leads us forward and helps us to go forward. The other thing that we discovered pretty early on in England was that nobody travels alone, that it's the wisdom of other people, it's the kindness of other people that really help you through your journey. After the first day, where we weren't as good at navigating as we thought we were, one of the things that we learned to do was every single person that we passed, whether that was another hiker or whether that was somebody who lived in a town or on a farm, we always stopped and said, "What can you tell us about this journey?" And people were so helpful. Indeed, sometimes they were helpful even when we hadn't asked. They'd tell us to move to a certain part of the path that was less muddy, or to go slightly to the left or the right, because that's where the true path was. When we think about Western Hills being a pilgrimage church, it reminds us that in the call to community, we find the help that we need. We find the kindness that we need. Backpackers often call those people trail angels, people that leave gifts on the road or who offer help. But we too, as we are called to community, are called to walk alongside each other and support each other and guide each other and give each other kindness. We are called to be a pilgrim people. And I'll just remind you of the last, or the first verse of this psalm. I lift up my eyes. We need to remember to keep our eyes and our lives on the bigger picture. It's too easy to simply be involved in whatever the moment brings, or whatever the world is telling us to focus on. So we forget to look up. We forget to get perspective. As I was coming home from the gym on Friday, now that school's in session, I know that I'm always going to pass groups of students who are waiting for the bus to pick them up for school. And as I turned onto my subdivision, I thought, I'm going to pass those junior high kids, and they're all going to be looking at their phones. And you know what? They were all looking at their phones. They were all looking at one small piece of life. Christians are reminded that God has a bigger plan for our lives, for our world, and for this church. So we need to look up and acknowledge God's presence in our world and dare to take the journey and step forward and know that as we do, God will be with us. Amen.